Hello, it's Tuesday, July 5th, and you are listening to the DreamStation.cc video game show. I am your host, Chris, and this is show number 12. Check out our website at www.dreamstation.cc for video game news, forums, podcast feeds, and our show archive that you can download. If you have any questions or comments, please send us an email at videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. Due to the July 4th holiday, which was yesterday, we are recording the show on Tuesday. We also have a kind of a skeleton crew with us today. We have Keith.
Hello.
And we have Ed.
How you doing?
Today we will be talking about getting games from the library, the next-gen chipsets not being too swift, Team Ninja comments on the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3, Xbox in TVs and DVD players, the Xbox 360 HD DVD drives, Xbox 360's 10 million estimate in 1 year, Sony lowering the price of PS2 games, the PlayStation Portable piracy update, a $1 billion loss due to the PS3, more dead babies in the news.
Yay!
China opening up an internet addiction clinic.
That's what Korea needs to do.
I know they do. All of Asia. The forum question for the week. A review of the Xbox version of Medal of Honor European Assault.
Next topic.
In housekeeping this week, I would like to first of all welcome any new listeners that we have. iTunes 4.9 is out. iTunes 4.9 supports podcasting, so we have probably a few new listeners this week due to the inclusion of that in iTunes. In addition to that, Video Game News Radio kind of pimped us. I would like to thank Kevin for that one. You can check out their website and their podcast at vgnradio.com. What is cool about that is because of the iTunes, Kevin was telling me they've gotten something like 6,000 more listeners this week. They're number 61 in the top 100 podcasts on iTunes, which is ridiculous. That's amazing for a video game website to be 61. I mean, dude, you got big time stuff on there. ESPN, NBC, all of these different paid, sponsored, you know, featured on iTunes podcasts. So, again, congratulations to those guys. So anybody, you know, listening from that show, welcome. Each week we have a housekeeping section and we go over anything that we needed to clarify from the previous week, any follow-ups to any stories that happened the previous week, or any generic news that doesn't really get its own topic. I would like to direct your attention to our website, dreamstation.cc. On the main page there, you can sign up for a contest to win one of two copies of the PlayStation 2 version of Medal of Honor European Assault. We have a review coming later in the show here. And lastly, we had mentioned last week that a minor league baseball game was going to be played the first two innings via console of MVP Baseball. The league commissioner put a stop to that, and they're no longer doing that. The game was in the game.
What was the actual reason?
I believe he just said that it hurt the integrity of the game. All the guys getting suspended for betting on baseball and, you know, steroid abuse and everything else.
Pretty sure they've already killed the integrity of the game.
The hot dog still tastes good.
The integrity of the hot dog remains.
Next topic.
Okay, our first topic of the week here, getting games from the library. GamingTarget.com has reported that 6 months ago, a library had started carrying PS2 titles. Their librarian's name is John Scalzo. It doesn't say what library, it doesn't say what state. It was one particular library, but we're kind of hoping that it catches on everywhere. They have 40 titles currently, a two-week load time, so you can get the games for 2 weeks at a time before you got to return them. There's a 25-cent per day late fee. If it catches on, some of these rental stores like Blockbuster could be in serious trouble. I don't remember what the Blockbuster late fee was, but since they've switched over to this kind of set fee of, I think it's one of these like 10 or 15 bucks a month, you get to keep the movies and the games as long as you want. There really isn't a late fee anymore. Every time I've gone to the library, to get a library card is free, so you're looking at potentially free video games from the library.
The only problem I see with they just got stolen all the time. What's going to stop people from just stealing the games as well? It's not like the library comes after you, you know, they just, the next time you come in, and they won't let you get another book until you pay your fee. So if you really like a game and gank it, you just don't go back to that library.
Yeah,
I just wonder how long it's going to be until, like, parents are going to say the library's for books, not for games.
Don't they allow videos and DVDs and stuff at the library now? I honestly haven't been to a library in years, so.
You have to wait a couple weeks for the video to come in, but I don't think parents mind as much because of all the educational videos. I mean, I have movies right now that are due back at Blockbuster like a week ago.
I mean, we had library cards when we were little kids. I don't remember having to fill out different types of paperwork. I would assume then, this is just in my assumption, that the library card would be tied to, I don't know, maybe a bill for utilities. or tied to a parent or something. Maybe they need to take a credit card on file. The problem is stealing it. This particular library said they had 40 titles. They haven't had any problems with damaging the discs. There's been no problems with stolen discs. The library is growing as far as how many titles it is. Right now it's just PS2, but it's getting better. There's a waiting list for about 2 weeks for every single title, but that's understandable. I mean, basically it's a free video game rental.
Yeah, pretty much. Curious what they would do about the whole stealing of the thing. I know they said they haven't had any problems yet. I mean, come on. If that catches on and goes all over the place, you know people are going to start stealing them. People are not that honest. It will happen eventually.
Next topic.
Next-gen chipsets found to be not too swift. An anonymous developer kind of ripped up the next-gen chipsets on AnandTech.com. In this anonymous developer interview, they had said the Xbox 360 is really only two times as fast as the current Xbox. There was more, but I got this information secondhand, and when I went back to AnandTech, they had already taken the story down. I mean, this was mere hours after it was posted, so somebody somewhere pissed something off.
Well, and rightly so. I mean, that could be very damaging to the already damaged image of Xbox and PlayStation.
And I'm not even necessarily disappointed that they took it down. The thing I have is, if it's an anonymous developer, I mean, we don't have these specs. How do we know he's not lying? I wonder if this was just a rumor to get this site up on the thing.
Take it with a grain of salt. We don't know if this is true or this is just some rumor mill floating around.
Now, it's saying that it's just not as fast as the Xbox is, or it's just not
it
much
ripped
faster
it up.
Than...
Hey, they're really not all that swift. They're not as good as these specs and everything, and all this hype is trying to make you think that these are going to be so wonderful. They're not that great. It's really only about twice as fast as the current Xbox.
Twice as fast as it is now would be still be pretty good.
I think the point that they were trying to say is there's so much hype over this stuff that it's going to be so many times better than the current stuff. I mean, I guess time will tell, and like Keith said, take it with a grain of salt.
I wouldn't be surprised, because PlayStation and Xbox have already shown that they will lie to try to increase hype. So.
Next topic.
Team Ninja made some comments on the Xbox and the PlayStation, the next generation of consoles.
All right, quick question. Who's Team Ninja?
Yeah. Team Ninja is the guys that made Dead or Alive Volleyball. They made Dead or Alive the Fighting Game. They made Ninja Gaiden. It's a division of Tecmo.
Okay.
I was thinking about a group of guys dressed up as ninjas.
It's our team of ninjas, literally. What does the resident ninja have to say about this topic? Well, he started to say something, then made some strange noise and threw a shuriken at me. Took off down the alley, disappeared in a puff of smoke.
One of the higher-ups, and I'm going to butcher the guy's name because I can't pronounce Japanese names to save my life.
You took Japanese in college.
I know, I can't pronounce them. There's too many syllables, too many vowels.
Why would you take Japanese?
I needed another credit, and it would be good on my credits to have a foreign language, so I ended up taking, Japanese.
I took tap dancing.
Oh, that explains the strange shoes and outfits. All right, this guy's name, I'm going to butcher it, so Tomonobu Itagaki. I mean, that's close enough. Nobody's going to remember this stuff anyways. He had an interview. What he was saying was, if you try and take advantage of the Xbox 360's full hardware specs, you will find difficulty in programming for a multi-core machine. Now, I can just see the blank stares I'm getting. What that means is, the Xbox is supposed to run with a multiple core processor. Basically, like we had talked earlier, your computer has one processor that runs stuff now, so you really have to give instructions to one piece of hardware. If you're trying to go full bore with the new generation of consoles, the Xbox and the Sony, there are multiple cores that act kind of independently, so there's like little tiny multiple brains inside of this thing. So you're trying to give instructions to each of these, and you have to kind of figure out, well, when do I give these instructions and how is that split up? So he's just saying it's actually a lot more difficult to program for systems like that rather than the current state of things where it's just one processor, one core. He did say that the Xbox 360 has enough power without using all of the cores that just with one core it will be several times more powerful than the current machines, which is cool. The downside of this, if I'm going to interject my commentary here, is that I think that there's a temptation then, just from that statement, that some of these game companies may be tempted to take the easy way out and not go put in the extra effort and do it for one core saying, well, it'll be good enough.
Yeah. They probably will do that.
Now, he kind of assured us that Team Ninja will not do that. They're going to take advantage of the different processors. He's just kind of given his comments. He thinks the media will be an issue. Now, the PlayStation 3 is going to use Blu-ray discs. In English, that's high-definition DVD. So today's DVD players play a movie. That movie is not at the most high, most super high-definition resolution that you could possibly get. To have that, you need more data to fit on that DVD. The Xbox 360 is coming out so far everybody has been claiming that it's going to be coming out with the current generation of DVD players, so those things hold 9 gigabytes. What this guy's worry about is that American and European companies, most of those guys use the in-game cutscenes. So if you see a trailer or a demo or a cutscene of a game anymore, usually it's just with the game's graphics internal to it. I remember back in the past, they used to have more full motion videos that looked spectacular, you know, as the cutscenes. As the graphics are becoming better, there's less of a reason to do that. That being said, Japanese companies use a lot more pre-rendered cinematics, and these cinematics, they would need to be rendered at a much higher resolution. Hey, Tom is here. Hello.
What's up, Tom?
We were just saying that these cinematic scenes would need to be rendered at a much higher resolution because the rest of the game is also that much higher quality. It looks that much better. This guy's concern is that in doing so, the current DVD format may not be large enough to incorporate all of these graphics in this super high resolution. He's a little bit worried. He said if they encoded the Dead or Alive 4 trailer that they showed at E3 and the high definition that they need and they would expect, it would easily be 2 gigabytes. So with Dead or Alive 4, he said they will be using the disk capacity to its fullest extent. He might be limited by the amount of data that can fit on a disk.
I'm just an average guy who really doesn't care about all that. I just want to know, am I going to be able to play a lot more games, and are they going to have better graphics, and are they going to be more exciting to play than the other ones?
All right, topic change. Techno Bowl football.
I remember Chris made me go up to Walmart with $50-some in change to buy the game.
I had a paper route at the time, and I had tons and tons of coins, and I was, like, too embarrassed, and Keith was 2 years younger than me, so I kind of, you know, forced him, hey, go in there, and I'll let you play the game if you actually go ahead and buy it, and he did, so.
Yeah, and the lady hated me.
This guy also from Team Ninja dogged the PS3. He said he hopes that Sony will actually make a machine that runs according to its listed hardware specs. So I guess that was a dig in there, thinking that, you know, it's probably in reference to the Killzone 2 trailer that was very clearly CG and not at all in-game shots. So.
And I think a good end to the segment is all of us just going into reminisce about Tecmo Bowl.
Next topic.
The Xbox might have TVs and DVD players. What Microsoft is doing is they're licensing Xbox technology on other devices like TVs, DVD players, cable boxes, etc., so that they can combo these things. For example, Toshiba supposedly is doing a high-definition TV/Xbox combo. So it's an Xbox, but it also, it's not just the unit, it also does all this other stuff. I don't really understand what that means, and there wasn't a lot of information. As more info comes out, we'll let you know.
See, I always thought this was Microsoft's strategy. They wanted to be the ultimate convergence device. So instead of having a TiVo and a DVD and a PlayStation, you just have the one Microsoft Uber box.
If an Xbox is going to cost $400, I'm curious as to, so let's say this thing that Toshiba is going to be coming out, this HD DVD player or TV or whatever it is that also can play Xbox games. I'm curious as to, first of all, the price difference. Second of all, you know, if you come out with a Toshiba that can play high-definition DVDs, you know, what does that mean to your Xbox sales that doesn't have the capability to play these high-definition DVDs? It can only play the regular ones. I wouldn't buy an Xbox if I could also get an Xbox plus have the ability to, you know, be a cable box or do something else too, if the price was in the same ballpark.
Well, it depends who, you know, who's buying it. If you're, you know, 14-year-old and you're not looking to build your own entertainment center, you just want to play games, you'll get the normal Xbox. But if you're like you and have a big entertainment center, you're going to go for the high definition.
I think what it boils down to, does mom want to spend the extra money to get little Timmy something that's really not that important for him, just like Tom said.
Next topic.
Okay, also in Xbox 360 news, the Xbox 360 high-definition DVD. The first shipment of Xbox 360s was going to be standard DVDs. What they're saying now, however, is the next shipments in the future could potentially be HD DVD. The reason I'm pissed about this is because I'm going to be one of the guys that buys it at the launch for $300, buy some games, and then if they're going to pull a Nintendo where they're going to release a better update, you know, they're going to put the, like they did with the Lite and the Game Boy Advance, you know, they're going to wait a half a year or a year, and then they're going to release this thing with a high-def DVD player also. That would bother me quite a bit. Is anyone else planning on getting the Xbox 360 anywhere close to the time it launches besides me or just me?
What I plan on doing is buying one and selling it on eBay.
Just you. You're the mindless consumer.
I am.
That worked very well for the PlayStation 2. I did that with the PlayStation 2 and made a nice penny off of that. I was unemployed at the time, so I was like, oh, this works fine. And we had a football game going in the parking lot with the other guys that were there playing Frisbee. It was actually a fun night. night. And then we went in and everyone bought a PlayStation 2. Todd kept his and I sold mine on eBay for like $800 or something.
That's ridiculous.
I'm going to buy an Xbox 360. This is the game plan. Buy an Xbox 360, then go sell it on eBay again for some astronomical price that some rich little putz will buy and give me money.
Next topic.
Microsoft has come out with a statement saying that they want to sell 10 million Xbox 360s in the first year. Now, to put that in perspective, it took them 4 years to sell 20 million Xbox Ones. So in 4 years, they sell double what they're going to predict that they're going to sell in 1 year of the Xbox 360. So I think that's a high estimate, put it nicely.
That means that they would probably have to sell close to 10 or 15 of those. I mean, within the first year, how many are they going to have to sell?
I think they're going to need to sell more than 10 or 15.
This looks like 27,000 per day, is that right? So they have to sell, what, 1,100 an hour? I don't know, man. Just looking at it, 4 years to sell 20 million Xbox Ones, and they want to do half of that amount in 4 years. They want to do it in 1 year.
Wow. There's a big difference there because, one, the PlayStation 2 was out before the Xbox. So that right there was a huge chunk of, you know, a lot of people aren't going to go buy another system just because of that. But also you have Xbox is coming out first as the first, you know, big system. I think that they have a chance to hit whatever goal they're trying to meet.
And they wave their little marketing pom-poms and they hope we all jump on the bandwagon. I mean, I could promise and say I'm going to, you know, get a 4.0. It's not going to happen, but I could still say it.
I highly doubt that that would be a promise they'd make to the stockholders.
No, it wasn't. Peter Moore, one of the marketing guys for the Xbox 360, had said that that's a goal they're trying to hit. They're trying to hit that in the first 12 to 16 months of the Xbox 360 being out. So he was basically saying that they have an advantage from coming out first.
So would he be fired if they don't sell 12 million?
You know what's funny is that Peter Moore, I believe, was also involved with the Dreamcast. They shipped $97 million of product in 24 hours, which is a big deal. But then, of course, the system died. So, you know, you got the same dude in charge. It's a similar situation. People are already speculating that we got Dreamcast 2 situation going on here. So,
next topic.
Sony is going to lower the price of their PS2 games. Not in America. Over in the UK, the Platinum Hits, which is basically what the UK people call the greatest hits over here in the United States. In England, they're going to be dropped by about a third of the price. They're £20 over there today. That will be dropped to £15. Now, I don't know the conversion rate. We pay $20 for our greatest hits here in the United States. Based on that, eventually I would expect, because usually what happens is in some other country, somebody lowers the price, and then you get a price war going on. Then all of a sudden, Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony all have to get about in the same ballpark. So I think that's good news. We can probably expect within the next few months that the greatest hits over here in the United States will drop. And then in addition to that, Xbox has their Platinum Hits. And Tom, do you know what the GameCube has their greatest hit bestsellers called?
Player's Choice.
So I think we can all agree price wars are good for the consumer. I mean, that's the reason you can go to any store now and pick up a GameCube for, I think I saw one over the weekend. It was $60, and it might even come with a free game. Don't remember the name of the store, but the bottom line is, it's out there.
Well, I'm looking at this article that was posted on Slashdot today. Quote, "And GameCube fans are out of luck, too. We currently have no plans to review the price of our Player's Choice range of software," said a Nintendo representative. Dun, dun, dun.
I don't know, man. I don't understand what these guys are smoking at Nintendo. It's $70 to buy the system. The game that has been out for 4 years, let's say, or 2 years, or whatever, it doesn't matter. It's $30. It's been out for a long time. You can probably buy it from, you know, a pre-owned video game store or eBay or something. I know, like, Pikmin 1 is like $19 or whatever. You know, like you just said, this person said that there's no plans to even review the pricing. You're third. You're last in console sales. Your games aren't really selling because you got no consoles selling. Why wouldn't you? What is it going to hurt you? Why?
I don't know, but you know what, honestly? Where do you go buy games? I go to GameStop, and I buy all my news anyways, so.
Most of the time I buy games, and most of us buy games from Best Buy because we don't have to deal with the dumbass at GameStop.
I hate those people.
But you know what? On those high-pressure sales tactics, I don't know. It's just like, if you just ignore them, you know, let them talk to their blue, but at the end you just shrug your shoulders and, like, ring it up, ringer boy.
It's not the point. The point is it's just annoying as all that these people are constantly in your face.
You need to wire Keith with a microphone and then go in and record a transaction at GameStop.
You know, that's a good idea. I wonder how I can make that work.
That is a good idea.
We'll have to figure out how to do this.
Next topic.
PSP piracy update. Hackers have gotten able to, they have a UMD loader and it can run UMD games. That's the little, what Sony calls the little disc that their games come on. You can load those off of the memory stick. I don't know if you guys remember, a couple weeks, maybe a month or two back, we had talked about there's a program and people have gotten the ability to take that UMD data and rip it off onto a hard drive, kind of like what they do with CDs where you take MP3s off of the CDs. They've gotten to run the game Luminous. That's how I hear people pronouncing it, so we butchered it a few weeks ago. They can run Luminous off of the memory stick. There's no sound currently, but the bottom line is that, I mean, the pirates are getting better and better. Each week there's an update on. They've cracked it, they've hacked it, and now they can get games to run. So you can go and download UMD games off of the internet at places that we won't mention, and then you can stick them on your memory card. Of course, you do need a large memory card, and then you can play the game without sound, so that's kind of crazy.
Huh, let me check. Have they made the BitTorrent sites?
From what I remember of Luminous, it could do without the sound, because it just plays the same song for each level anyway.
It's actually different songs.
That sounds like it was an improvement to the game.
I do get your point. Luminous, just by itself, looks like it's about 100, 200 megs. So I said you're going to need a memory card for this. Apparently the memory card doesn't have to be that big.
Wow, look at all this good free stuff on the internet.
There is, and I agree.
Arrgh, me bucko, look at all the free stuff. Promoting these pirates. Pirates kill babies.
Next topic.
In our next topic here, we have a $1 billion loss from the PlayStation 3. The Japanese branch of Merrill Lynch has reported, this is all reports from them, that Sony will lose more than $1 billion during the first year of releasing the PlayStation 3. The reason that this will be is because they will sell the system for $400. Again, speculation from them, expert opinion. It will cost over $500 to make each unit. So they're going to lose $100 per unit.
So are they banking on sale of games to eventually make up for that?
Yes. It's my understanding that Nintendo is the only system that has not lost money on their hardware consoles. Xbox and PlayStation both lose money on the console sales. What the reasoning behind that is saturate the market. If everyone has a PS2, then your games are going to sell for more money. And the games, you have kind of a licensing agreement where you get, let's just say, $5. I just pulled that number out of the air. But you get $5 that goes to Sony for every video game that they sell. So they make that money back and a whole lot more during years 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Next topic.
Okay, the next topic here, it's becoming a weekly trend. More dead babies in the news. In England, this is reported from The Mirror. A father killed his baby because he was interrupted while playing his GameCube. The guy
bastard, why would he do that?
The guy was 21 years old.
The baby, that is.
The mother found the father sleeping on top of one of the four-month-old twin boys. This baby was dead. The other baby had a broken skull, broken ribs, broken arms and legs. One of the things that she said was that he once used a four-letter word because she had stepped in front of his view of the computer game. So, of course, this guy was
where was this again? What country?
This is in England. They called it GameCube Nut Murders Infant Son.
This is going to reflect badly on the Nintendo fans.
I mean, some of these sites are reporting a man has beaten one of his infant sons to death in a fit of gaming rage. He did not like being disturbed while playing his Nintendo GameCube because he would lose his temper. See, these stories don't help the gamers. You know, with all the things going on, the baby is 4 months old. So this dumb, retarded idiot killed the one baby, busted the other baby up. You know, again, I'm not condoning this type of stuff.
So wait, did you just go on record that you're not condoning baby murder?
We here at DreamStation.cc don't condone the murder of babies.
That's a pretty bold statement there.
Other video game shows condone murder of babies. That's why you should listen to our show, because we're against it.
This just happened today, so I'm interested in the fallout that's going to come because of this idiot that killed his kid.
Playing Game Boy or GameCube, it's Nintendo. It doesn't have severe violence.
Yeah, you should have been in a happy euphoric state.
Sunshines, mushrooms, flowers. Never have I seen Mario break all the limbs of a Koopa Trooper. So he didn't learn it from Nintendo.
That's yet another video game related dead baby story. And you know, guys, I don't even think we need to explain it, but I'm going to do it anyways for the one guy out there that doesn't have a clue. Video games have nothing to do with this retarded situation or the stupid idiot parents a couple weeks ago that when they were playing Warcraft, when the kid was at home, suffocated and died. You know, all the politicians and everybody else are going to gather this up as more ammo to show the evil video game industry and all the stupid, crazy video game players and how, you know, we snap off the handle at the drop of a hat, so.
That's right. Back in my day, fathers didn't smother their kids over video games. They just got drunk and beat them.
Exactly. And video games weren't even a part of the equation.
Next topic.
China has opened an internet addiction clinic. Going to cost around $48 a day. They're on staff with something to the effect of 20 to 25 nurses. and they go through therapy. You get like IV bags of fluids to supposedly help the brain in balance. You have like therapy sessions. What I did was I looked up, they have some of these symptoms. Computer or video game use characterized by intense feelings of pleasure and guilt. Hours playing video games or on the computer, increasingly seriously disrupting family, social, or work life. Lying about computer or video game use. I got in a huge fight with Heather a couple years ago when Diablo first came out. She was amazed because I had so much homework that year that I never saw her. We were still dating at the time, and I was just playing Diablo all the time. And actually how she caught me was, it used to be on modem and you were dialed up. You know, my phone would always be busy. That's the first clue. But then she called Bob, and Bob so kindly said, "Oh yeah, Chris is home. We were just playing Diablo." And that, you know, set the whole chain of events off, so.
Yeah, I hated back in the dial-up days. My parents, they wouldn't get a second line, so my brothers would be on all the time. And one time I was taking a trip down to Cincinnati, and I broke down on 71, and I couldn't call home. It was horrible.
Experiencing feelings of withdrawal, anger, or depression when not on the computer or involved with that video game? Check. This is the checklist. Can't control computer video game usage. And the last one here for adults is that the fantasy life online replaces your emotional life with your partner. Even Keith, who isn't as obsessed as necessarily as I am, let's say, or even as Tom is about the video games. Dude, I think you got at least half of those you can check, right? I mean...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you are casual gamer, in quotes.
Utter contempt for humanity?
There are also some physical symptoms. Carpal tunnel syndrome.
I think that's addicted to porn.
Sleep disturbances, back and neck aches, headaches, dry eyes. And here's one, failure to eat regularly or neglect personal hygiene. I mean, Keith and I... When we were living at home in the same house, when we were younger in middle school or early high school, Christmas week was pretty much stinky week where we would...
Oh, yeah.
It was just foul. I mean, we were in the same room, but we were on opposite sides of the room. And
that was the only time of the year we wore all that cologne that Mom bought us. Our parents would buy us a bottle of, like, you know, canoe barbershop cologne or something, and that was the only time we'd wear it. It was during Christmas week because we wouldn't have school, and we would just wake up, play video games, break only when it was time to eat, and then go back to playing video games. I mean, we would power nap right next to the Nintendo. When one started getting tired, they would wake the other one up, and then they would take a nap, and the other one would start playing.
These are in the days before battery-saved games and, you know, memory sticks and stuff, so... All you gamers out there, if you were in China, you could go to the internet/gaming addiction clinic and get this problem just, you know, cured up. Cured away, $48 a day. While we're talking about this a little bit, one thing that I wonder is if anybody out there knows of anyone who's ever had an epileptic fit due to video gaming. So you know in the front manual they have the inside cover?
Ed has. Ed's not here to comment on that.
He's actually gone into an epileptic seizure during a video game?
Yes.
All right.
I gotta see that.
We need next week, we need to talk to Ed. Have you guys seen this?
No, I've never seen it, but he has said, because he always jokes about that, yup, this one has the warning, I better be careful. And we're like, why you gotta be careful? He goes, I have epileptic seizures. He goes, I remember when I was younger, I was playing, and he said some Nintendo game, and he apparently went into a seizure while playing this Nintendo game.
That's pretty wild. I just wonder if it's full-blown foaming at the mouth, epileptic seizure, but I agree with you. We'll grab Ed later, but if anyone else out there knows of epileptic fits from video games, let me know. I've always wondered about that. It's on the beginning, you know, the inside front panel of every video game manual just about.
Next topic.
Last week, we didn't have the time, quite frankly, to do a forum question. The forum question from 2 weeks ago, then, was... I had a whole list of different Sega products, because we don't give Sega a whole lot of love, which was the best. Now, I understood the bias of the gaming site. I mean, Dreamcast won, hands down. It had the vast majority of the votes. The only other one to get actual votes was, I believe, the Sega Genesis. So the comments were all kind of the same, and it quickly degraded into somebody actually said a non-Dreamcast system, and then it turned into a burn the witch kind of flame war. It was all in good fun, but so it was definitely Dreamcast. Our question for this week will be, is there really such a thing as bad press? You know, you look at NARC, got pretty horrible ratings, but it was making a lot of money. You look at Manhunt, which when it came out, it got, you know, it was supposed to be like a little snuff film. Of course, everyone's heard Grand Theft Auto in the news, Postal 2, the current kind of scandals going on in Congress here about 25 to life. They want to get the game banned. So is there really such a thing as bad press? Just go to dreamstation.cc. On the left-hand side, there'll be a section for forums. Go to your general section, and then not only vote, but also throw some comments up. We'll read the good comments. If you have email, throw me an email if you want, if you don't feel like posting on the forums.
Next topic.
In our final topic of the day here, we have a review. We will be reviewing Medal of Honor European Assault for the Xbox. We had the gang over this weekend for some gaming, and one of the games we played was, of course, Medal of Honor European Assault. I had played the single-player version of the game, so I'll get to that. But, Keith, while you're on the show here, what did you think your impressions of the multiplayer? Now, let me precede that with multiplayer for Medal of Honor is split-screen only. 1 to 4 players. It's no Xbox Live support. Medal of Honor is also out for the GameCube and the PlayStation 2. Now, one of the complaints was that we're a little biased towards Xbox games. Most of the games we review the Xbox version. Most of these games have all three versions, so go for it. What did you think of the multiplayer there, Keith?
Detonate the bomb multiplayer, I didn't like, because you couldn't add any computer people, so you could, the most you could do was 2-on-2.
All the modes in Medal of Honor is going to end up either being a free-for-all deathmatch or some kind of objective team-based game where your team, you know, that term is used loosely because it's a team of two folks. It is a class-based multiplayer game where you can pick what sniper, rifleman,
heavy weapons, and infantry. The set the bomb in the enemy base game was very dumb because you can only have 2-on-2. The one game that we had a lot of fun with was one guy gets a bazooka and everyone else has to try to kill the guy with the bazooka. And that was a lot of fun as we ran around just trying to slaughter each other.
It's kind of one person against anybody. One thing that we have is that the games get quickly all out of whack because usually, and I'm not bragging, but usually out of our group, I'm one of the better FPS guys. You know, whoever's team I'm on is usually winning, or if it's just me in a deathmatch, I'll usually have a whole bunch more points, and of course that doesn't make it fun for everybody else. We don't really like playing FPS games on consoles to begin with. That lasts very short. Like Keith was saying, you have some of these games where it's free for all, but at the same time you team up on somebody. So there was a flag game where you had to capture the flag. There was one flag you had to like bring it from wherever it was to your personal little goal, kind of like a little football game, and the goal was different for each person. That was a lot of fun because there's a lot of backstabbing. You team up, you truce, then you kill the guy with the flag, and then you quickly turn and blow your friend away, grab the flag, and continue running. But now all of us are out to get you. It was split screen. I have a 57-inch TV, so I thought the screen was more than big enough to actually see what you were doing and how you're doing it. I know if you had a smaller 20-inch or less, I probably wouldn't recommend it with four players on the same TV. To give a little background in general, the game is, it is a World War II game. It's by Electronic Arts. The single-player game is actually really cool. I liked it a lot better than even Brothers in Arms Road to Hell 30. The controls, as far as an FPS game, I know the general consensus was that it was kind of a pain the way that they were laid out. But I think in general, after a game or two, I didn't hear too many complaints.
And as far as the console first-person shooters go, I agree that it was very well put together, the controls.
The single-player game has you going through a bunch of different stages as a United States soldier in the British Army. The level layouts, they were slightly linear, but it was a little bit more open. It wasn't as linear as some of the previous Medal of Honor titles. In addition, one of the things that they have this time is you get a squad with you. Now, the squad you can control pretty easily. It was very simple. I think you just, it was either the left trigger or the left thumbstick, and what you do is you tell your team, go here, go there, and they can run up ahead or they can cover you while you flank around. It's not as well done as in Brothers in Arms, which has a similar team-based squad kind of game. The squad AI was pretty pathetic. Very rarely did they help. You know, I didn't find myself disappointed when guys in the squad were killed. Do have the option to use health packs, med kits on these guys. Very rarely did I do it, because quite frankly, who cares? Why would I waste it on you when I need it for me?
That makes sense.
During the game, which is a little bit on the short side, you get adrenaline points. You get adrenaline from things like healing your teammates. You get adrenaline from headshots. Once your adrenaline is full, you can hit one of the buttons and enter kind of adrenaline mode, which is, I believe you have unlimited ammo, almost invincible. You can run around. Time slows down, kind of like Max Payne bullet time. You're a hero, and this is your heroic surge. It didn't take anything away from the game. Almost every shot I had was a headshot, the reason being that the enemies do usually crouch behind cover. The way they handle respawning in the single-player game is that you have these little resurrection packs. You get so many per level, and you also find them as you do certain objectives. But I really had a good time playing the single-player game. They have kind of mini-bosses, which are little German officers that you have to fight that are much more tough than the average soldier that one or two shots will hit him. This guy you really gotta, you know, blow up. You can't just run out and rush head-on because he has a much more powerful weapon than you and would kill you. The graphics and the sound, I mean, they're about what you would expect from an Xbox game. I didn't have a whole lot of complaints. We've seen this stuff before. It's a World War II game. You've seen all the textures. You've seen the levels. I mean, there's not a lot new there, but again, it didn't take away from the game. If you don't mind that yet another Fighting the Nazi game has been released, I would recommend you pick it up. We had kind of talked about the multiplayer. I was very underwhelmed with the multiplayer because it wasn't everyone online. It was split screen only. And like Keith said, if you have four of your friends over, I would rather play a game where the playing field is a little more leveled. It's a little more co-op. I mean, two on two is okay, but in a game like this where it's a big expansive level, you know, one guy's trying to guard the base, the other guy's trying to take the base. Taking the base and guarding the base with only one guy is a lot harder than it sounds. Keith had only played the multiplayer. I'm the only guy that has played the single player, so I'm going to ask you to review just the multiplayer aspects. Give it a number.
The multiplayer aspect, I would just give it a 6.
I'm actually going to give the game overall a 7.5. If you were to improve the multiplayer side of things, give it a little bit more replay value, I would bump it up to an 8 and 8.5.
Next topic.
We are at the end of the show. It was show number 12 of the DreamStation.cc video game show. If you do have any questions, comments, or feedback, please, please shoot me an email. We'd love to hear feedback from you guys, good and bad. Videogameshow@DreamStation.cc. I want to thank Kevin and the guys over at Video Game News Radio. I do have to say that the language is more adult, so younger kids, beware that it's kind of, I would give it, you know, the mature rating on that thing, because they, you know, they say the F word and other things, but I laugh. It's the only other video game podcast I listen to. I think it's pretty well done. That being said, please check out our website, dreamstation.cc, where you can get video game news. There's forums, podcast feeds, and you can download our show archive. Keith, do you have anything else?
Not really.
Okay, and again, I apologize for the smaller crew this week. Please come back next week, and we'll try and do better.
Oh, goodbye, guys.
All right.
Thank you,
guys.
See ya.
Late.